Ezekiel chapter 28, and let's stand together and read. We're going to talk about the devil tonight, amen. And we'll give the devil the devil. Amen. He may give us trouble, but anyhow, we want to talk about him tonight. And I'm not going to magnify him. I want to talk how bad he is. Amen. That's one time I don't mind you talking about somebody. Talk about the devil. If you want to talk about anybody, talk about the devil. Don't talk about me. Don't talk about nobody. Talk about the devil. Amen. And give him trouble. All right, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 12. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle in gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. You can be seated, and let's pray together. Father, tonight give us wisdom, understanding. May we be able tonight to comprehend the Scriptures, and Lord, tonight to rightly divide the Word of God and not, Lord, add anything to it nor take anything away from it. I pray, Lord, we'd speak the truth as you give it to us and written it out to us. God, that we can see tonight, anoint us with the Spirit of God that we might be able to say what needs to be said. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for all that you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Now we want to talk about tonight Satan, the evil force, the evil power. Now some folks today, and I've come across some people and the way they live and the way they act and the way they do things, they'd have you to believe tonight that there's two eternal forces. And I want to tell you tonight there's not. Amen. Now the devil is powerful. I want to tell you he's powerful, but he is not all powerful. Amen. He's limited to what he can do. And I want to give you some things here tonight. There's only one supreme being. And that is God Almighty. And remember that one God made up in... we got one God made in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. A Trinity. But one God. One eternal God. No one, none other. Only one eternal being tonight. There's not two eternal powers. There's only one. Get that fixed in your mind. Now we're going to talk about this tonight. There's two places in the Scriptures, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, and we'll be going there in just a little bit. And we'll give you these two Scriptures, and these will give you a description of Satan. Now, one of them is talking about the king of Tyre, and we'll see that, or Tyrus, and we'll find the other and talking about another one, but these have not been in the Garden of Eden. So this is reference to Satan, the master deceiver. I want to talk about it tonight. First of all, I want to tell you that Satan is, has been, and he'll always be that, a created being. Amen. God is the only one that has always been, and there's no creation in God. There's never been a beginning with God Almighty. That's a basic fundamental fact. If we don't get that straight in our mind, we're messed up all over. Amen. But we know tonight that Satan had a beginning. Where it's at, you cannot maybe put your hand on it, but I'll tell you, God created him. He is a created being tonight. And so keep that fixed in your mind. You'll find that in chapter 28, verse number 13. I'll show it to you. Ezekiel 28:13 said, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering." And notice as we go on down in the last part of it, he said, "And of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast," what's that word? "Created." So he's a created being. And then go with me down into verse number 15. It said, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created." See, he's a created being. Remember that. He has been created by the hand of God. We're going to talk about some things about that tonight. He's a created being. And he was created, but he had a fall. He had a fall. He sinned. We read this out of the scriptures in Ezekiel chapter 28. He sinned. And we'll look at that tonight. Now he was created, but secondly, put this in your notes, he was not created evil. He was not created as a devil. Remember that. Some people say, "Well, God created a devil." No, he didn't. He created a cherub. We called him a cherub, anointed cherub. Every time you find a cherub, it's always in reference to angelic creatures. Brother, he was an angelic creature. Some say he was a, one of the archangels. We have Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. We're going to see his name in just a little bit out of the book of Isaiah. So let's turn over and get these. We're going to do a comparison. Hold your place in Ezekiel. Let's turn back now to the book of Isaiah 14 and put these together. And let's see if we can't get some things in knowledge of the scriptures and get it together so we know. When somebody's talking about the devil, I want you to be able to give them these two chapters and give them some reason. Somebody said, "Where'd the devil come from?" I want you to be able to tell them that. Has the devil always been? I want you to be able to tell them that. And you say right off, no, he has not always been. He's not a man. That he has a creation. There was a time when he did not exist. In Isaiah chapter 14, let's look at verses 12. We're going to read this, and then we're going to try to tie both of these together. He said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" So we automatically see now that he's one time in glory. He was in heaven. "Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Verse number 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend up into heaven," or "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." And the sides of the north is where God dwells. Psalm 48, verse number 2 tells us, "It beautiful for situation in the sides of the north, the city of the great God." Amen. So we know tonight, he said in verse 14, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" This is talking about Satan, Lucifer. Amen. How that he's cast forth, and see his fall. We'll look at that. Now I want you to know tonight, he's a finite creature. He's not an infinite creature. God is infinite. There's no limit to what God is and who God is. Brother, there's no limitations to the wisdom of God. He's infinite in his wisdom. He's infinite in his being. The devil is finite. He's like man. He's finite. He's got a limitation to his days. We have an appointed time to die. We come in this world, we're born, and we die. The devil has been made and created as an angelic being. He's sinned against God, but he has got his end. We're going to talk about that tonight. But as we look at it, we'll see these things from the scriptures. Amen. The difference between man and Satan, what is it? Brother, we were tempted by Satan to sin. But Satan, his sin came from within. Amen. Nobody tempted Satan. Somebody said God must have tempted him. The Bible said no, God tempts no man. God tempts no man in the book of James. And so we know tonight that temptation or testing, and brother, God does not bring anybody to evil. He does not put that before him. Now I want you to know tonight that Satan has had a beginning. Secondly, he was not created evil. Amen. We're going to read these scriptures and look at them a little closer tonight. Then thirdly, he fell into sin willfully. He willfully transgressed the laws of God. Amen. He did. Look at verse number 15 and 16 of Ezekiel chapter 28. Now look at this. In chapter 28 and verse number 15. Thou wast what? Perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Remember, man was not perfect. He was innocent. There's a difference. But the devil was created perfect in his ways from the day that thou wast created. Then it said, till iniquity was found in thee. In other words, he made a choice, and his choice was the wrong choice. He was not tempted by an outside force. He was tempted from within. Now, what is it that got a hold of him? What is it called him to fall? Two things. The Bible said in verse number 17, and here's what happened to him. Verse 17 of chapter 28, verse 17 of Ezekiel. Look with me. Thine heart was what? Lifted up. You see that? Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Now that lifted up means pride come in. Pride is what got the devil. Brother, he looked at it, he had beauty. There was beauty. Brother, he looked at that thing, his heart got lifted up. Now I want to tell you something tonight. God hates pride. Hold your place in Isaiah 14. Hold your place in Ezekiel 28. And now let's turn to the book of Proverbs. Turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. I want to go in Proverbs to chapter number 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, we want to look and see what God says. In chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs, this is something you ought to keep before you all the time. In chapter 6, verse number 16, God said this, through Solomon the man of God, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What's number one? A proud look. Brother, God hates pride. Pride is what the devil started with. Pride is what the devil uses as an instrument to ruin you and to ruin me. Pride. And so he said a proud look. Secondly, a lying tongue. Third, a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood for number three. Number four, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Five, feet that be swift and run into mischief. Six, a false witness that speaketh lies. And number seven, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, brother, I'll tell you what, God hates every single one of them. Seven of them's abomination. God said, that's more than I can stomach. An abomination is something God says tonight, I can't stand, it makes me sick. An abomination is something tonight that God detests. And God is disturbed. You'd study the abominations of the scriptures, you'll get yourself a good education on the things that God don't like. Amen. He talks about it, brother, abominations all through the scriptures. Study that. And so we see this, that the first thing out of these seven that God hates is a proud look, pride. And that's what got into the devil. Now hold your place in Ezekiel 28. And go back with me, please, to Isaiah 14. And I want you to look at Isaiah 14 and notice this in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 13. Here's the devil. He's saying this, For thou hast said in thine heart. Notice this. I've got every one of the eyes circled. He's got some I wills. He said, I will first. I will ascend into heaven. Amen. Secondly, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, I want to tell you something. It's been in the devil's mind ever since when he was in glory, in the presence of God, to take over the throne of God and to make himself in the place of God. I may help you to understand a little bit about the prophecy that we're talking about in the book of Revelation. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He said, I'm going to take over. I'm going to rise up. God is not going to get the throne. I'm going to do it. That's what he did. He bit off more than he could chew. That's exactly what he said. Pride got in his heart. And he raised himself up. He said in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's why he's going to have his heyday in the tribulation hour when he sets up his rule and reign through the Antichrist. Amen. He'll be the devil incarnate. I said that tonight, the Antichrist won't be the devil, he'll be the devil incarnate. It's exactly what he'll be. And he'll set up his rule, and he'll think he's got it made. So you see what's happening. Brother, he's there. Let me give you some more about the devil. Let's turn to John chapter 8. Hold your place there in those places. John chapter 8. Look with us in John chapter 8 and verse number 44. You know this one. He said in John 8, 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now he begins to tell us who the devil and what he is. Here's his characteristics. He was a murderer from the beginning. You said, who'd he kill? Amen. Who'd he kill? You got to kill somebody to be a murderer. All right, hang on a minute. I'll give you some scriptures on that. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So that means he's a liar. Because you're going to say that because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil. Don't believe anything he has to say. Amen. The only power he has with what he speaks to people is the little truth that he mixes in with it. And the power of a lie is the truth that's put in it. And the devil will quote just enough truth sometimes. But he's a liar. The Bible said so. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Matter of fact, he's not only a liar. Brother, he started lying. He's the first liar that's ever been. Amen. Brother, he does. That's all he speaks is lies. Amen. He does that. Now you said, we're about the murderer. Well, turn with me, please, to 1 John. In 1 John, every Christian, every child of God needs this. Pay attention. 1 John chapter number 3. Give you time to turn there. 1 John chapter number 3. We got 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. So back it up, and you'll find where we are. There in 1 John chapter number 3, please. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 15. The Bible said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. There we are. Amen. Hatred is murder. Amen. All right. Two or three of you got it. Yeah, amen. But it's the truth. He said, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. God said, hey, he's telling us this tonight. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And he said, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We pass from death unto life. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. Brother, you got hatred in your heart? I'd check up to make sure it's real. Amen. There's some things you ought to hate. I'm not telling you that you can't take all the hatred out. But I'll tell you this. You ought to hate sin with a passion. You ought to hate ungodliness with a passion. You ought to hate evil in every sense and source that you see it. You ought to hate it. Brother, there's nobody you should hate as a person. Amen. I don't care where it's saved or sinner tonight. There should not be no hatred. If you got hatred, you got murder in your heart. Where'd it come from? The devil. Amen. Now, the devil don't even like that to be preached. Even though, you know why? He don't like the truth to be told on him. You know, sometimes when people tell us the truth, sometimes it hurts pretty good and skins us up. And the devil don't even like it. He don't. Amen. He don't even like the truth tonight. Now we look at this. First of all, Satan is a created being. Number two, he was created without sin. Amen. He wasn't created evil. Thirdly, he fell by a willful transgression of pride. That's exactly what he did. And then we find number four, he was cast out from his high office. God threw him out of heaven. He's a heaven reject. Amen. He's thrown out and the door's been shut and he'll never go back. The only thing he can do today is come before the throne of God and he can accuse the brethren. Amen. He accuses the brethren. We won't get into that tonight, but that's a message by itself. We'll find that in the book of Job when they went up before God and accused Job before God. And he does that. He's an accuser of the brethren. Did you know tonight if you're saved by the grace of God, you love God, the devil hates you. He despises you. He'll do all he can tonight to keep you from being what God wants you to be. He was cast out. Look at Ezekiel. Going back to Ezekiel tonight, chapter 28. I know we're back and forth, scattered back and forth. And we could take one verse at a time and go through it, but we do it this way tonight to kind of get the idea. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 16, he said, "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned." You see what he's done? He's sinned. "Therefore I will" what? "Cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." God said, "I'm going to cast you out," and we find that he did. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, he said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" God cast him out. Brother, he's been on the earth ever since. Amen. But he's a defeated foe. He certainly is. He's a defeated foe. Now, we talked about his past a little bit, and we just covered a few little things about his past. Let's look at his present. Amen. I understand a little bit about his past, but I'm more concerned about his present. You know why? Because I have to deal with that rascal every day. I have to deal with him. Somebody said, "We got problems of the flesh. We got problems of the world. If we didn't have the devil around, we wouldn't have problems with either one of them." Amen. I can prove that to you tonight out of the scriptures too as well. But we may get to that. But I'm saying this tonight. What's the present work of Lucifer? His present work is to deceive. Let me give you some things from the scriptures. You know, in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. But Jesus, after his baptism, and the Spirit of God came upon him as a dove, and we'll find the Lord God or Almighty, the Father, spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You find them there. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost showed up to one great baptism. That's the greatest baptism ever been. Praise God on the earth. Amen. I got to think about this the other day. Somebody got saved and they was telling about it. And they said, "Hey, we got, they're such a drunk and they had such a rough life that when they got saved, people started coming to the church there to see if it was real. They went to the baptism, said the baptism down at the river. They went to the river, said they had such a crowd because people just could not believe that there had been a change made in him." Amen. But I want to tell you the most exciting baptism was when Jesus was baptized, not because he had sin, but to start his ministry. The first thing he did after he came out of the Jordan River is went in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil tempted him afterwards. Amen. And guess what? His temptation was overcome. Brother, he came out victorious over the devil. The devil didn't take him down. Amen. I praise God for it. But I want to show you what his present job is. Turn to the book of 1 Peter. I'm giving you some scriptures in the book of 1 Peter, please. And we're going to 1 Peter chapter number 5. You know, I guess what it is. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll read at verse number 5. Amen. Bible said in chapter 5 of the book of 1 Peter, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud." Amen. Now, I'm warning you because that's what the devil starts with, pride, "and giveth grace to the humble." But down in verse number 8, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may" what? "Devour." Brother, he's after you. Verse number 9, here's what he said to do about it. He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. God said to resist him. Now, the Bible teaches us to resist the devil and he will what? Flee from us. But the first part of that says, submit yourself. Amen. Unto God. And if you don't submit yourself, brother, he will take you down. So one of his jobs tonight to do is to devour you. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. The second epistle of Corinthians. And we'll go tonight to 2 Corinthians and we'll look at chapter number 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'll give you time to turn there. Here's what he's doing in the present. What's the devil doing now? He's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's got the binoculars out. He's watching your every step. He's watching your every move. He's watching how you live. He gets your habit style. He knows what you're doing every day. He's got you, what is that they call a stakeout? Brother, he's staking your life out. He's watching for you. And what he's going to do is move in on you. He knows your weaknesses more than you do. Sometimes you think, I can handle it, but you can't handle it. Amen. And the devil knows you can't handle it. He knows your weaknesses. Things tonight that bother me might not bother you. And things that bother you might not bother me. I may have enough of the grace of God on me to overcome some things in life that would take you down. And you may have the grace of God on you enough tonight on certain things that would take me down. But you can get across it. Because we're all made up a little different. And the devil knows my weaknesses. He knows my faults. He knows where he can work on me the most. And so what he does, he starts working on us. That's what he's doing. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why is the gospel hid to them that's lost? How come they can't see that Jesus Christ died for them? How come they can't see that they're a lost sinner on their way to hell? Why can't they see that hell is hot? Brother, why can't they see the punishment of going to the pits of hell? Why can't they realize that Jesus Christ is their hope? Why can't they grasp that when you preach it? Why can't they accept the gospel every time it's preached? Why does not a sinner do that? Because the Bible said it's hid. Why is it hid? In verse number 4 it said, in whom the God of this world. Who's the God of this world? It's the devil. Brother, he's the prince and the power of the air. And he's in this world. Here's what he said. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon unto them. When I preach the gospel, the grace of God, and I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and him dying and rising from the dead on the third day, brother, when you preach that to a sinner, the devil puts blinders on their eyes spiritually, and brother, he blinds them that they can't see and can't comprehend. And that's why we got men and women going to hell tonight, is because the devil has blinded their minds. That's what he's doing today. And had we not been reached by the gospel and give in, we'd still be blinded tonight. But I want to tell you, this rascal tonight blinds them. The Bible said in verse 5, for we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So we find tonight that the God of this age, the devil, hath blinded the minds of men and women, boys and girls, that they cannot see the marvelous gospel, they cannot see the truth, and they will stumble and be blinded and stumble and continue to be blinded and stumble till they wind up in hell. Brother, that's why we have to pray hard to overcome the power of darkness tonight. He is the instrument of the power of darkness. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We go to 2 Corinthians tonight. I'm just giving you a few things about the devil. Time ain't going to let me get all of it. But I'll tell you tonight, I'll give you enough to understand it. We've seen his past. His past was, he was an anointed cherub. He was created by the hand of Almighty God. He was not made a devil. He made himself a devil. We know that. And then we find he is cast out. And now he's walking about seeking whom he may devour as a roaring lion. He's on the rampage to win people over to him. But we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I want us to go down to verse 13. Here's what's going on in the present. We're looking at the devil in his present. The Bible said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. Now look at this. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Hey, you hear that tonight? Brother, he makes himself look good. If the devil jumped in tonight in a red suit, had horns on his head and a forked tail, amen, and a pitchfork in his hands, everybody in the world would run from him. That's not what he does. No, sir. Brother, he entices men with great swelling words. He pats them on the back and squirts rose water from the pulpit. He tells them that they're all right. And he tries to make people believe that they can work their way into heaven, that they're good enough to get there on their own. And brother, that's what happens. His ministers, they do that to transform themselves. The Bible said in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, that's his preachers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Amen. Amen. Our churches are filled with Satan's ministers. Amen. Listen to me. Brother, we've got our churches filled preaching all kinds of junk and garbage that don't come from the Bible. Pick up something besides the real Bible. They preach works and a religion. Brother, they don't teach salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And brother, they preach anything else and all those things. And that's why the devil's blind in the minds of men. And you and I who believe the truth and hold to the truth, we are despised and criticized and ridiculed for because of what we believe. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm glad that I've got a separation from the devil and his crowd. I'm glad I heard the truth. I'm glad I accepted the truth. I'm glad I believed the truth. And thank God, I'm glad that I know the truth. And brother, he lives in me. Praise God, what a difference it does make. So now we find a little bit about his present. We could continue on in his present. We could talk about what he's doing. I see him today ruining lives of little boys and girls. They get up to age, you know, and takes them out in dope and drugs and sex and everything else, and got so much to offer them, and sells them a whole bill of goods. And all they're looking for is a good time. He's even got that in the religious world, trying to entertain the kids and trying to take care, give them what they want, amen, and try to do that. And brother, we're in the entertaining business in this world more than in the preaching business, and we need to get back to the preaching of the Word of God like we never have before, amen. Need to get back to it. Yes, sir. That's our answer. Now, we see his past. We find his present. But I want to read a little bit about his future. He don't like this part of it, but I like it. This is the only part I can rejoice in. Amen. I can't rejoice in what the devil's doing today. I watch the news, I hear the news, I read the news. And when I see those things, brother, it just bothers me how this sin is on every hand. Sin is on every hand. Brother, I ain't never seen the like. I heard some of the school system, they've talked about it this week. I listened to this, and I thought, they said now, some of the kids, I don't know what school system and where it's at, but they're already starting this. It won't be long to be caught on. They have it now, if a kid goes to school and they have not done their homework, instead of getting a zero, they can't give a child a zero no more. Instead of giving them a zero, they give them a 60. That's still a failing grade, but they can't give them a zero no more. Hey, something happened. Brother, I tell you, my teachers didn't do that. It was a big fat zero that you couldn't overcome. That's a 60. Amen. Can you imagine? I made some zeros. I don't know about you, but I made some zeros. Amen. And if I'd have made enough of them, I'd have been a big zero. Amen in life. And so what we've done, we've taught, you know how they are? They're in the education system now, wanting to run a marathon and win. And we got to give them all a trophy. Because we can't single out just one person anymore. That's where we've come to in society. Brother, the devil is an instigator of all that. Brother, I want you to know, I see all this stuff. No wonder we've got kids that cannot tell you when Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I was at the place the other day, and something would come up. It said it's 1492. And I give her the money. I said, 1492. Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And she said, do what? And I said, you don't know that? She said, what are you talking about? I said, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I remember. How many remembers that? Amen. Well, there's some kids didn't even. This girl, she's on up in the high school years if she hadn't already got out, and she didn't even know nothing about Columbus. Amen. Didn't know anything about him. All right, I'm going to think about it. Oh, yes, listen, we're at a time when the devil's blinded our minds. We're ever learning, the Bible said, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're some of the smartest human beings that we've ever had on the face there. Just let the White House tell you. Just let the educational system give an assessment of this thing tonight, and they'll tell us we're living in the most educated I mean the most knowledgeable time of all times. But we got kids that don't even know how to get out of the rain. Amen. And I'm not knocking the kids, brother. I'll tell you, it's not the kids we ought to be after. No, it's the ones that's raised them. Amen. Amen. Now look at all these things. Well, so much for that. We know what he's doing. Now, let's take our Bible and turn, please, to Revelation chapter number 20. In Revelation chapter number 20, I want to read a little portion of Scripture here. A couple of things, and then we'll go home. In Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1, here's what John said, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Amen. "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now remember, this is right after the 19th chapter when Jesus is coming back on the white horse with the saints of God. Puts his feet upon the Mount of Olives, has a little supper, has a little time there for the vultures, and then he grabs Satan. I like this. He had a chain in his hand. I was listening to somebody preach years ago, and he said, the Lord's already come. He put the devil on a chain, and he's in the chain gang. And I said, if he's put him in the chain gang, and he's on a chain, it's a mighty long chain. Because he's still walking up and down on the face of the earth doing his dirty work. Amen. This is still yet future. One of these days, the Lord's going to lay his hand on him, and he's going to cast him into, did you notice what it said? Going to cast him into the bottomless pit. You said, what's a bottomless pit? Well, I've never seen one, but I've read about it here, and if it's what I think it is, and I believe it's literal, I believe it's a pit that don't have no bottom. Now, boy, that's a real theological term, isn't it? What's a bottomless pit? It's a pit that ain't got no bottom in it. Amen. Boy, have we learned something tonight. We know what a bottomless pit is. It's a pit with no bottom. Just continually falling. For 1,000 years that rascal's going to fall and fall and fall. You say, well, they ain't a big enough place for that. Hey, I'm talking about a bottomless pit that God opens up. Amen. Takes so many years to get from one place to another. So many light years. I heard something, they said something left, and some of the light that we see was so many years ago when it left where it was coming to get to here. That blows my little peanut brain. Well, when I begin to look at that, if God has already got that in play, the devil can fall for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit. Amen. Well, the reason I read that is because I want you to find out what happens. In verse number 7 of chapter number 20, he said, and when the 1,000 years are expired. Somebody said, that's just a figment of your imagination. That's a day. 1,000 years a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And some folks will take that and change the context of it. But I believe when the Lord says 1,000 years, he means 1,000 years. Brother, he's talking about in times of eternity and the other in the book of Peter. And I'm not going to deal with that tonight. But we're looking here. He said, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Somebody said, well, if he's going to put him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, why don't he keep him there? Because during the millennium, that 1,000-year reign, there's going to be some kids born, some children born, to amen, on the earth. And brother, they will not have heard the gospel like you and I have heard it. Brother, the devil's going to be loose for a little season to go do what he's doing today. Tempt them and to blind them and to deceive them, because God is no respecter of persons. And then they will have to choose to reject Jesus. I don't know how long that time is, but it's going to take place. Now what's going to happen after that? The Bible said in verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. You see, they didn't fight for 1,000 years. They beat their swords into pruning hooks. Amen. Their swords had been brought into where they'd go prune the vine for 1,000 years. Peace was on the earth. Amen. Now, just a little time later, the devil's been loose, and just a little short season he's loose, and now he's done got war against the saints of God again. Now the Bible said, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them here in verse 9. Now, here's what I like to look at. Here's what I'm going to do in closing. In verse number 10, here's the shouting part of every bit of it. Here's the victory. Amen. We can claim the joy right here. Thank God. I can read the last of the book now. We only got chapter 21 and chapter 22, but I'm reading the last of the book. Hey, you got your Bible? Amen. Aren't you in the book of Revelation? You're only two chapters away from the end of it. Look what God said at the end of the book. Amen. Before he says amen, he said in verse number 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." He said the devil's going to be, who's deceived, is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And brother, there's going to be, and the Bible said he's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. I'm sure he's drawing up tonight. He knows that. Amen. Preacher after preacher's come down through the ages. Brother, we've preached his doom. We've preached his destination. Brother, he don't like to be reminded of it. But I read the last of the book, brother. He's going to the lake of fire forever. Amen. Praise God for that. And then the Bible says, then in chapter 20 and verse number 11 through 15, that death and hell is going to give up the dead. And then we'll find something happen. The Bible said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire," the same place Satan's going to be forever. "This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Hell, as we know it tonight, will diminish. It'll go away and turn into a lake of fire. And brother, God will judge. And then I like the last two chapters. God starts a new heaven and a new earth. No more devil. No more darkness. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more, amen, sin at all. And tears will be wiped from her eyes. Amen. And we're going to have a hallelujah time. And if you want to look at it tonight, and it's not a fairy tale, and we will live happily ever after. Glory to God. And the last word of the book of Revelation is in chapter 22 and verse number 20. Amen. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank God. Amen. So we find his past, his present, and his future. He don't like to be told that. He don't like to be reminded of it. So when the devil starts warning you and reminding you of your sins and your past, remind him of his future. Amen. Tell him where he's going. When he starts getting on your case, remind him where he's headed. Amen. Plead the blood of Christ and keep it going. That's the only way I know how to deal with the devil tonight. I'm not enough power. I'm not enough strength. I'm not enough of a Christian tonight. I'm not strong enough in the Lord or any other thing to fight the devil face to face. But I'm thanking God tonight that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus and his precious blood. Let's stand.